Hey there, you're listening to What the Riff? Join us as we remember the great rock and roll hits from a month between 1965 and 1995. We're going to riff on all things about the bands, the members, and the goings-on during that time. We hope to inspire you to find and download the songs you hear today, whether you're fans who forgot about some of these tracks or maybe never even heard them before. Check out our blog at whattheriff.com or follow us on Facebook at What the Riff. Here's a shout out to our sponsors, Monkey Wrench Brewing, the best tasting beer and more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Stanton Electric, a commercial electrical specialist, and Marbury Creative Group, a brand development agency that helps companies tell it better. So let's turn up the volume and enjoy this episode of What the Riff?
Hustler magazine publisher Larry Flint is shot by a sniper in Georgia, leaving Flint crippled in a wheelchair. Carl, the great Waldland, a German acrobat, dies after falling off a tightrope between hotels in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and Palestinian terrorists attack a bus in Tel Aviv. 45 are killed. You are listening to March of 1978, and we're What the Riff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
I'm John.
And I'm Bruce.
Guys, I am so psyched to bring you this album. Most of you friends listening to What the Riff know these songs. Journey is one of the best-selling bands of all time, and this was their huge introduction that really propelled them from opening act to main act. This is the album Infinity from Journey, and it was out in March of 1978.
This is one of my favorite Journey songs, like legitimately one of my favorite Journey songs.
Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful.
It's a beautiful one, and let me tell you a little bit about this one. It's Lights. I'm going to share something that Steve Perry said about each of these songs. I found an article called The Stories Behind Journey's Infinity Album by Steve Perry.
He seems like he would know what he's talking about.
It's on classicrock.com. So on this one, Lights, Perry says, I was standing in Griffith Park Observatory as the sun was coming up, and I could see the lights going down. It came to me like that. When I got together with Neil, Sean, to write the bridge, it dawned on me that it was really about San Francisco, a city by the bay. I always wanted to live there, but I couldn't afford it.
Well, you certainly can't afford it today.
You can't.
No, absolutely not. The background music in this, the background singers, how they just key in perfectly in this song.
Yeah.
And it's such a mellow, chill.
Yes.
And then, of course, his voice just kills it.
Yeah, I'll go a little more into the band, but you've got Greg Rowley in the backing vocals there, as well as Ross Valerie. It just sounds beautiful, doesn't it?
Now, Rob, is this the first album that Steve Perry is?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
This was their fourth album.
Got it.
Journey was formed in a little city by the bay in 1973 by Santana manager Herbie Herbert. He was the manager of Santana, and he and Santana members Neil Sean on lead guitar and Greg Rowley, keys and lead vocals, got together to form this new band. They picked up two members of a group called Frumious Bandersnatch. They picked up Ross Valerie on bass and George Tigner on guitar. And then initially, they had a guy named Prairie Prince on the drums.
Prairie Prince.
Yeah, do you recall?
What a great alliterative name.
You know where he's from?
No.
Minneapolis.
The Tubes.
He was
the drummer for The Tubes.
Nice. I was thinking of a different Prince.
No, that was a different one, yeah. Way more purple. Way more purple.
That's beautiful. So this next one here is Feeling That Way. Lights is the first track on the album.
Yep.
This is the second one. Listen to this. I love it.
I love that piano work.
Yeah,
there.
The piano is a nice little lead in there. All the
good times. Steve Perry says, written by myself and Greg as a song we could both share vocals on. Back then, they would do 25 minutes of their fusion stuff, and I would walk out on the stage and sing the second verse after Greg's intro. So you're hearing Greg. Now, here we go. Am I just a fool? What about Steve?
There he goes.
There's the power. There's the power voice.
Yeah.
There's the money right there.
I mean, it's just great. So for the first three albums, Greg Rowley was the...
He was the lead singer.
He was the keyboardist and the lead singer. You can hear him. He's got a lower voice there.
Now I had those, a couple of those albums. You know, when this album came out, what we used to do is Oh, man, what a great album. We'll talk about some of the songs that you didn't pick, which I'm kind of pissed off about, but whatever. But I had those, I went and bought this album, and I go, oh, I want to hear more of Journey, so I bought the older albums, and Steve Perry wasn't on there, and I probably need to go back and listen to those tracks now. I've sold those albums a long time ago, but I didn't appreciate it. I wanted to hear that Steve Perry Journey. And that,
you'll love this. They kind of started off like Toto. They were put together to be a session band. And they wanted to get with these talented artists, and they were called the Golden Gate Rhythm Section.
Okay.
And after playing one concert, I think it was in Hawaii, they recognized that they had true talent, and they're like, we need to do more with it. They had a radio contest to come up with a name, the new name. Didn't like any of the names. A roadie suggested Journey.
I like it.
We like it, exactly.
I like it.
All these guys had talent and experience previously to joining Journey.
Oh, yeah. So, like you said, from Santana. I mean, Neil Schon was the lead guitarist for that.
Absolutely. You can hear him a little bit here.
Then, of course, you come across a guy named Steve Perry, and things kind of work out for you no matter what happens.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, for this album, the band was on tour. Columbia Records wanted a sound more like Boston and Foreigner, so they added a new frontman, Robert Fleischman. And they opened for Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, Emerson, Lake & Palmer. Fleischman wasn't really doing anything spectacular like they wanted him to. And so they went to a concert at Soldier Field, and they met Steve Perry. And the manager's like, this is what we need. Herbie Herbert had a new Queen producer, Roy Thomas Baker, to help him out with the sound, and you have Infinity. Now, what comes next?
Anytime You Want.
Not this time.
What? What?
It naturally rolls into that. Wayne, I agree with what you say most of the time in terms of this one thing. We're not here to play all the hits.
Yeah,
I wanted to play
true.
A deeper track on here. So the track we're listening to right now is called Something to Hide. Please come talk. Listen to this voice and this range on here. Tell me what's
on the air. I think Steve Perry just had the pop sensibilities, you know?
Yeah.
He had a gift for knowing what was really going to appeal to the mass market. And when I say mass market, I mean the female mass market.
The 1978 female mass market.
I just wanted to digress. The song that we were alluding to is Anytime. Usually those two kind of come to back. So they do Feeling That Way, then Anytime. And, yeah, what a wonderful song. But, yeah, I understand. We got to do some of these deep cuts because it's the album we're focusing on.
This one's called Something to Hide. And I just love the range in Perry's voice. Steve Perry says of this one, it's one of my favorites. Some people felt it didn't belong on the record, but I loved what it was doing and the vocal guitar stuff, singing higher harmonies than Neil. After you've been on tour for a while, that high falsetto can wreak hell, though. That's why the song never made it live much. Because it was hard to hit.
Would this been a killer on the skate rink scene, the couples skate?
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
1978, 79, kind of going around. I mean, this feels like a couple skate song almost. Yeah.
Well, that was Journey. Journey really was, I back in the day, it was a chick band. And if you want, I mean, I loved the hell out of them. But yeah, women really, and high school girls who I was dating at the time, loved the hell out of them. I saw them 3 times during this period. I mean, it was an easy day. It was a great day to go to, and the music was not overblaring. I mean, yeah, there's rock and roll songs. We're not doing the big rock song off this, Wheel in the Sky. Oh, my goodness, what a great album.
Ryan covered that one.
Oh, okay.
So we're not covering that one. That was on side one. On side two, the first track.
Yeah.
I just love the vocal range on this. Lights, Feeling That Way, Anytime, a song called Le Doux Day. Wheel in the Sky, Something to Hide, Winds of March, Can Do, and Open the Door on side two.
Lou Dog Day was a hit. It was on the radio.
That was back when you bought an album and every dang song on there just rocked.
Hey.
Because they actually cared about producing quality.
That's the reason why we do this, John, is because we want people to know, look, there's more than just these hits.
Well, yeah. And also the hits.
Yeah.
And I like how Rob compared them to Toto. One of Wayne's most...
The first three albums.
Yeah.
Were really, you know. But... Just listen to the guitar and listen to the drums. I mean, it's amazing. Here we go. Listen to his voice.
You think he can still hit that?
He can't now. He's actually in bad shape vocal-wise
right
now.
Well, not right now, yeah. But, like, he could hit that for a long time.
If they had
a
reunion tour, I'm there with him.
Yeah, I'm there, too. Let's go, Wayne.
I went ahead and went to this song patiently, and I ultimately chose this one. Because of its importance to Steve Perry. He says, the first song I ever wrote with the band.
Oh, okay.
Herbie had flown me out to see the band in Denver, Colorado after the show. Neil and I went back to the hotel room. We sketched out the idea. The lyrics explain that I was waiting for Journey's light to shine on me. It's about me waiting and ready to walk out there and become part of the band.
Oh, that's cool.
I like it. Sweet.
It's a beautiful song.
This is one, I have heard this song, but you don't hear it very much. It's not like one of the greatest hits type of songs.
An interesting little piece of trivia here off of Wikipedia. So Herbert had been given a demo of a band called Alien Project that was Steve's former band. He knew he would be a good replacement for Fleshman. Fleshman had not signed with Herbert's company and had not fully coalesced with the band's progressive rock style. So Perry was brought in on tour, and to avoid alarming Fleshman, was referred to as a roadie's Portuguese cousin. During a sound check in Long Beach, Perry surreptitiously performed a song with Journey while Fleshman was away from the stage.
Oh, wow.
Soon thereafter, Herbert informed the band members that Perry was the new lead singer.
Sneaky.
Listen
that is
here.
Sneaky.
Listen, this is why. Drums.
That's solid.
That's Ansley Dunbar on the drums. He's the one who replaced Perry Prince. So for this album, Steve Perry, Neil Schon, Greg Raleigh, Ross Valerie, Ansley Dunbar. What a group.
Just a lot. When they first heard Steve Perry walk on stage and then he picked up a mic and started singing, everybody probably looked at each other and said, how do we get rid of the other guy?
Yeah.
Apparently it wasn't that difficult. They just weren't gelling.
Right, yeah. Also, Steve Perry's voice is amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that the big learning from this is if you're singing for a Journey, you probably need to sign your contract fast.
Early, yes.
Or they will delay on that.
Just listening to this, it takes me back to those concerts, and I can still see Steve Perry in his white tux coat walking on the stage. They had it kind of wrapped around. You can go around the back and the sides. And I just see him there just in the spotlight singing these songs. It's so amazing.
This has got a sweet ending. I want to end out with this voice.
Wow.
Beautiful. I hope you guys enjoyed it. So now we're going to go on to our entertainment track brought to us by Monkey Wrench Brewing.
Back in the day, there was a thing called Project Blue Book. And the United States Air Force and I think everywhere else did like a expose on UFOs trying to...
Neil saw the wheel.
make them feel like they're all weather balloons or whatever else. But this came on TV after those Project Blue Books was revealed, and they used actors to sort of portray these people investigating these things. Some of them they investigated were correct. Some of them they just kind of left it and go, you know, we don't know if this is UFO or not, but, you know, it wasn't a weather balloon.
But this is Project UFO.
Yeah, it came out in March of 1978. Also coming out in March 1978, The Incredible Hulk, starring Bill Bixby.
Oh, that was a fine
show. One of my favorite TV shows.
And the two shows that actually ended was The Carol Burnett Show, and I'm sure all of us watched those Saturday nights.
Classic.
And The $6 Million Man.
Steve Austin. Astronaut.
We can rebuild
it. Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno was a big part of the show.
He was a bodybuilder. Yeah. For some reasons, his pants didn't rip apart.
Listen, man, purple pants are hard to find, okay? When you find a pair and they rip up, you got to keep them.
Yep. I just remember seeing UFOs. I believe in UFOs. Do you believe in UFOs?
I mean, they're unidentified, so literally.
I'm convinced that people have unidentified flying objects. That's for sure.
I do believe that people are unidentifying things correctly.
Yes, correct. All right, well, now we're going to staff picks, and we're going to start with Bruce. What do we have here, Bruce?
Continuing the piano theme, it is not Desperado. This is a bit of a deeper cut. This is a song called Coming Right Down on Top of Me, and it's from April Wine. This is off their seventh studio album called First Glance. It was released in March of 1978, and this is the second single released, although I've got to tell you, I never heard this contemporaneously. But this is one of those songs, I just heard it and I thought, wow, that's really good. It's an epic feel. And it's a sad kind of bluesy rock type of thing.
I like it, man. It's got kind of that haze kind of feel lead in with the guitar.
I love it. This is almost a hair band type song, but well before that.
You know what it is, and we're going to talk about this another time, but this has got kind of that southern rock, that psychedelic rock kind of feel to it.
You could see Skinner doing it, couldn't you?
You could definitely see a Skinner kind of lead in on that.
Yeah. Well, it didn't go very far in the U.S. April Wine is a Canadian band. It was overshadowed by another song they did called Roller, and that was the one that really kind of put them on the map. And that was the next single that they did, so they really got a lot of mileage out of that. By this album, Miles Goodwin was the only founding member left in April Wine. They had a kind of a turnover, and he's the one that wrote this song. It's about just being weighed down by everything, and you know, just feeling like everything's just falling right on top of you. You're just getting buried.
I'm loving this, man.
It's a neat song, isn't it?
It is.
It's why we do this, man.
Yeah. It's not Africa by Toto, but it's not good.
No, a few things are.
Well, I mean, April Wine, I mean, we've done several of the songs, Sign of the Gypsy Queen, I Like to Rock, Just Between You and Me, are the three big songs probably everybody would know if you know anything. They're sort of considered, some people would call them a one-hit wonder, but obviously I've named three hits. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, get the Greatest Hits album, download it. I mean, because this is one of those ones. My goodness, this is a beautiful song, man. Golly, I can't get over it.
I don't know that I've ever even heard this song before.
It's not one that you hear very often. And here's the thing. April Wine, this is the feel that they have. You know, they've got that. It's like you were saying, John, it's kind of a southern rock, but it's more just your standard hard rock band. And that's just the feel you get from a lot of their songs.
I'm trying to remember. I think I actually have heard this song.
Yeah.
It's a good song, man.
It's solid, and I love the way that it's constructed, because it has that slow part, it has the heavy part, but it just continues, it builds and it fades. I don't know. I just like it.
I like it. Yeah. What a great little sine wave.
And then here comes the drums, and then we're gonna blow the doors off now. Man, this is a great song. Bruce,
did I do well?
You did well.
Does that make up for some of the other picks?
Yeah.
Bruce, I always like your picks.
To your earlier point, John.
Oh, man.
April Wine, I think, would have one awesome song on the album. Mm-hmm. Journey,
yeah,
like, had a whole album full of great songs. But that's why we've kind of been picking multiple albums for these guys. That's beautiful.
I was
Thank
a
you.
Sucker for the One Hit Wonders albums. I would buy them.
Oh,
I'd be
yeah.
like, what's going on with this album?
Yeah.
Speaking of One Hit Wonders.
Oh, my God. You're joking.
John's
All right, John.
John's up
John
next
Lynch
here.
Has this one.
None of you guys have ever heard of this artist. He barely made anything. He only made a few songs. Don't go
changing. Okay, if you were a piano player in the 70s and you were trying to attract girls, this is the song that you play.
Yeah. You play this song. You play this is Billy Joel, Just the Way You Are. Don't imagine. He wrote this song for his first wife, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a divorce. And I don't see you anymore. Then he wrote other songs for his other wives and immediately got divorced. Billy Joel is quoted as saying, if I marry you and write a song for you, we're done. It's the end. You'll know our marriage is over when I produce a song, it's a hit, and that's the end of our marriage.
That's it.
Sounds like Taylor Swift, you know.
she writes them after the fact, doesn't
okay.
she?
Okay. I take you
just the way you are. Yeah, so like Billy Joel married Elizabeth, and then he married Christie Brinkley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he married like four other ladies. Or I think four total is what he ended up marrying. But they took a lot of his wealth. So Billy Joel will joke in his concerts and talk about how he has been working to make music for decades to literally give to his ex-wives.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm not a big fan of the prenups, but if you're Billy Joel, prenup might be a good idea.
Especially if you plan on writing a song for yeah. a woman.
That's right.
Yeah, Billy Joel's singing at the concert, and he says, if you're interested, I've got some CDs back in the back if you could buy a couple on your way out. Got to make some money tonight.
This is not the only song that he wrote about his first wife, though, because as I recall, I did as a staff pick She's Always a Woman.
That's right, yeah.
And that was about her as well.
Yeah, if you get two songs written about you.
Yeah, that's it. You're out.
You're definitely leaving.
Oh, and here we go. We got the sax going, so that's for Brian.
Yep.
Can't go wrong with the sax.
Once again, this is off of... this actually is an album that you need to go download, because this is another one of those. I mean, it's called The Stranger is what it came out, you know, and I mean, had Moving Out, you know, that's a top one. The Stranger, Only the Good Die Young. I mean, golly.
Amazing.
What a great song. She's Always a Woman. Those are such great songs, and that's not including just this song here.
I'm not even ashamed that I didn't go deep cut on a
oh,
Billy
no.
Joel mm-hmm. thing. I don't care. Billy Joel's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm the deep cut guy. Come on.
It's got that,
you are the deep cut guy.
It's got that 10cc background, too, that kind of ethereal harmonies in the back.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, the saxophone at this time really became important to a lot of songs.
Yep.
I saw Billy Joel live in late 2022. Had a saxophonist standing next to him playing mm-hmm. live music. Had his piano with a spotlight coming down on it. Let me tell you, Billy Joel in 2022 could still hit the high notes.
Wow.
The very high notes. And he would preface it and go, I'm going to tell you, some nights is better than the others, but tonight, I think I got it. And he'd sing those high songs and just absolutely destroy it. I mean,
nice.
Listen to that voice. If you're a person who loves music but you've never delved deep into Billy Joel,
mm-hmm. his whole catalog is fantastic. It really is. And a lot of the non-singles are in my opinion better than some of the singles that were released.
Who was producing more music in the 70s? Elton John, Billy Joel, or Queen?
That's a tough call. I think probably Elton John, but
yeah, I'd agree on that.
It's got to be close.
Well, Billy Joel was about to be on the outs until this album came out. When this album came out, that was it for him. This made his career.
And it extended well into the 80s, and he was producing like albums and hits and stuff.
Excellent pick. Excellent pick.
Thanks, John. Now we're going to bounce over to Wayne for our next one. And this is looks like an unusual one, not one I'm familiar with, Wayne.
All right, guys, we've mentioned this group a few times with album releases, and this album released in March of 1978. If there is a prog rock band that deserves attention that's regulated to the back of the bus of the prog rock circles, it's this group called Renaissance. The song, Northern Lights.
How many members of Yes are in this group?
the entire band.
There are none, but I do have a small trivia I had down here. There was a guy that played bass for a little while in this group. He was from King Crimson, UK, and Asia. His name is John Wedden.
So
he was in band a little bit, but yeah, they kind of mixed around. They really focused on two people. This is a little different. If you listen, there's more of a piano bass to their songs, and obviously we have Annie Howson. She's really the voice behind this. She has a 5-octave range, and so she'll get way high up there.
I mean, am I wrong here? Does this sound a lot like ABBA?
I was about to say the same thing, John.
I mean, this is... I mean, they're knocking... They owe ABBA kind of a high five
No, this is the other way around.
You think so?
Yeah. This is their 8th studio album in 1978.
They've been around a bit?
Yeah. They were more acoustical on some of their earlier albums than this. They brought back electric guitars for this one. But you can get that feel big band, that big music sound.
I'm hearing a little bit of Styx. I'm hearing a little Triumph. There's, you know, I can see some threads in there that sound like other bands.
Well, Annie said this song is about leaving the northern lights of England, not, you know, the lights, whatever, you have to go up to Alaska and see those. Aurora, yeah. And she also left a boyfriend behind, Roy Wood, who happened to be a member of ELO. And was engaged with her at the time. And so, you know, she wrote this, and she goes, you know, it's hard away from you, traveling roads and passing through. It's not the money. It's not for the fame. I just can't explain. Sometimes it's just lonely. So,
you know, I picked Madonna one time as a staff pick, and I genuinely felt a little bad about picking Madonna on a What the Riff podcast.
As you should
feel.
And
now I do not. Now I do not feel bad.
All right, this is not their most prog rock song or anything. I actually have their album Prologue downloaded. So, yeah, it's, you know, they have 10-minute songs all throughout their albums. This is actually the most popular. It actually went to number 10 in the UK, but it did not break the top 40 in the United States. But this is their, if you call it a hit, this is their hit. So, yeah,
this is their zeroth hit.
Yeah, at least in the United States. I mean, they're Renaissance. I mean, you think about it, you can hear that acoustic guitar.
It's got kind of a hippie feel to it, like a psychedelic hippie feel.
I mean, you'll see you could see this at the Renaissance Festival or something like that. You know, I mean,
percentage of this band was wearing bell bottoms while they recorded this?
I almost call this a precursor of jazz flavors type. It's more of a soft rock type thing, classical fusions and some, you know, adult contemporary music.
And you said this is their 8th album?
8th album, yeah.
Okay, so they got their start either late 60s or early 70s.
They're still out there touring, so Annie's the only one from the classic 70s lineup. But, yeah, go see them. It'll be entertaining. Yeah, you probably just kind of sit there and just kind of bob your head to it. But
Are we going to go see them, Wayne?
Sure, we'll go see them when they come to Atlanta.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Them and ABBA one night.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, that was fun. Thank you for sharing.
Rob, what do you have?
You'll recognize the song here, but this is a little bit more Latino feel, obviously, and
a little bit, little Latino feel. I can get it. I can dig it.
Being March of 1978. This is "Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood" by Santa Esmeralda. The song was originally written by Benny Benjamin, Horace Ault, and Sol Marcus for Nina Simone in 1964.
Ooh.
Oh, so then the Animals took it from them.
Here we go. Yep, the Animals covered it. Elvis Costello covered it. Joe Cocker covered it. And Cyndi Lauper covered it.
Now, I have heard the Joe Cocker cover, and I've heard the Animals cover. I haven't heard the Nina Simone cover, and I don't think I've ever heard this one.
I've heard the Cyndi Lauper and the Cocker cover.
Okay.
But I've never heard this original, or this version.
So did this make it on the charts?
Believe it. I mean, it was dance charts, I know.
It did. It did make it onto the charts. And I don't have how far it made it.
Mm-hmm.
They based their version on the Animals' version.
Yeah.
And they released a 16-minute version in the summer of 1977 that filled the entire side of their album by the
wow.
same name.
That was big back in the day because you wanted to have a dance track, but you wanted to keep it going. And that's when you started doing the mixing, the whole rap stuff. You had an album full of one song, and just it looped and everything else. But, yeah.
Can you imagine? Yeah, 16 minutes. They're noted as a disco group, but it's got a lot of, like I said, Latin feel to it.
I see this as more of a Latin thing than a disco thing.
Do you recall what 2003 blockbuster film this was part of the soundtrack of?
No, which one?
Would it be the, is it Selena?
There was a fight between the bride and Oren Ishii in a Quentin Tarantino film.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Kill Bill Volume 1.
Kill Bill. Now I do know this song in there, yes. Now I can see it in my head what's going on. She's got her katana.
Yeah.
All right, top hits of March of 1978. We're still in disco. Night Fever by the Bee Gees. Also by the Bee Gees, Stayin' Alive. Samantha Sang had Emotion. I don't remember that, but Eric Clapton, Lay Down Sally. Andy Gibb, Love is Thicker Than Water. Paul Davis, I Go Crazy.
Oh, yeah, I like that song.
Yep.
I think we've covered that one.
We may have.
Andy Gibb, too, he could do no wrong during that period.
Right.
I think Shadow Dancing might have been the big hit of 1978,
Well,
too.
You can tell by the way he walked, honestly.
No Time to Talk.
All right, so that was Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood by Santa Esmeralda. And that ends our stat picks. Now we move into either a instrumental track or a laugh track. And this is a laugh track.
You guys may recognize Randy Newman, obviously from Toy Story. But yeah, his big hit was called Short People. And I don't know, when I was growing up, I had friends that were a little shorter than I was. And I actually sang it to their face. Short people's got no reason.
I had the 45 for this.
It's a funny song, but yeah, I guess some high school buddies got ribbed a little bit more than probably should have.
Yeah.
What does he say? Short people got no reason to what?
Yeah, to live.
Oh, yeah. No reason to live. That's ridiculous.
Hey, it was March of 1978.
People didn't get to live?
Listen. Don't want no short people around.
I guess not. What?
Also, music in March of 1978. Quarter million people went to California Jam 2. Ted Nugent, Aerosmith, Santana, Dave Mason, Foreigner and Heart all played at that.
Wow.
That was in Ontario, California. The Ruddles. You guys remember that? It was a mockumentary of the Beatles. All You Need is Cash. It was on TV. Some albums that came out, Genesis had, and then there were three. I wonder what that alludes to. Quiet Riot had their debut album, Quiet Riot. Probably weren't ready for him yet. John Mellencamp was Johnny Cougar at the time, and he had a song, an album called Biography. REO Speedwagon had probably the greatest name for an album ever. What is it?
You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
I almost pulled a song off of this album. Generation X had their debut album, the punk rock group that Billy Idol was in. Jimmy Buffett had Son of a Sailor. I mean, great, great albums that came out at this time. Oh, my goodness. Elvis Costello and Attractions, this year's model. Wings had London Town. Atlanta Rhythm Section. I mean, come on.
Champagne Jam.
Champagne Jam.
Love it.
Yeah. Also in film, we didn't get to, Laser Bash was a low-budget, I guess, science fiction film that came out. Return to Witch Mountain. Do you remember Escape from Witch Mountain?
I like that
Disney?
One. I like Return to Witch Mountain.
Gray Lady Down with Charlton Heston about a submarine disaster. And American Hot Wax, which is a biographical film of Alan Freed, who came up with the term rock and roll.
Hmm.
And you've been listening to March of 1978 with What the Riff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
I'm John.
And I'm Bruce.
We'll see you guys next time. Let's rock and roll.
Thanks for listening to What the Riff? We hope you enjoyed the songs we had on tap today. Please tell your friends about us. Check us out at whattheriff.com and follow us on Facebook. Special thanks to our sponsors, Monkey Wrench Brewing, Stanton Electric, and Marbury Creative Group. That's all for this week. See you next week on What the Riff?